This is WCNO Palm City, the good news station.
Today we're talking with Pastor Bob Littleton.
And I began to think for the very first time in my life, I saw a need for God. I said, what do I have if, when the bottom drops out in my life? What am I going to cling to?
Mm-hmm.
And this couple, clearly showed Christ, through their life. So that weekend, I began to see my need for Jesus. And I remember one time over the course of this weekend, we had to write a letter to Peter about his denial of Jesus and how he adamantly said, I will never, the others may deny you, but I never will. And I was in the group of these two young ladies who wrote these eloquent, forgiving letters, and I didn't have it in my heart. All I could say was, Peter, how could you do that? You adamantly, anyway, so there was like no forgiveness in me. And when I heard these two women's letters, it was shaking to me that someone could be that forgiving and that loving. And again, another step in my journey towards coming to know the Lord.
We're going to continue our conversation that we started earlier with Bob Littleton, or Robert Littleton, and it's quite a testimony. He did not believe in Jesus as his Lord and Savior, was sort of a worldly guy with wine, women, and song, and when we left, he had just started dating his wife, who was not a Christian, but he had gone to a carnival or a fair or something, and ran into a man who was talking about Jesus fluidly, and he was attracted to this man's enthusiasm and love of God. So you left the fair that night. What happened?
So I began to check out different churches, met some new people, and I went on this encounter weekend called Discover, met some really good people in that weekend, and I remember them telling me that in South Florida, there's like three different radio stations that you can listen to, and when a preacher comes on the air, you just flip to the next station and there'd be music. And I remember doing just the opposite. I remember I had such a hunger to know about God and about Jesus that, if a preacher was on, I'd be listening to him. And if music came on, I'd flip to the other station. And I was listening to people like, Chuck Swindoll and Charles Stanley and John MacArthur and Billy Graham, so I was learning all this stuff. I was like a sponge just soaking all this in.
But you had not had a conversion experience yet, so this is by intellect.
I hadn't, yeah. This is all just, like I said, God was just drawing me in. God was doing a work in my life that, didn't come from me, it came from him.
Of course, it didn't seem strange because you were reared as a Catholic, so you were used to hearing about Jesus and he didn't offend you. I was not brought up that well, so I thought it was all just silliness. I was into Eastern religions and stuff, but for you, you felt somewhat comfortable.
Yeah, it was, like I said, I believe the facts about Jesus, and like many of your listeners, maybe the point where, yeah, I believe that Jesus died and that he rose from the dead, but not to the point where you're trusting him.
Because, even the devil believes that, right? Because
exactly.
They said, oh, you are the Son of Man, but that didn't save him.
It says the devil believes and even trembles. But anyway, so during this whole process, my wife and I got engaged, and my fiance at the time got engaged, Lynn and I, and I brought her on this Discovery Weekend. They did it about every two or three months.
You brought her on the Discovery Weekend? Now, was she reared as a Catholic also, or what?
She maybe even less so than I was, but that was kind of her background.
Now, you're both people of intellect. You're both pharmacists, so should she resist a little? Didn't she think this was a little strange? Aren't we going to continue to smoke pot and drink?
She was a lot more moral than I was, but she was a little resistant, but she went, and she had a really good experience as well. And like I said, as a result of that, we started listening to the radio. And that's why I'm so passionate about what you're doing on the radio, because it was such a large influence.
Oh, cool.
Coming to Christ.
Cool.
The radio was something that God used powerfully in my life.
Well, so that comes full circle. That's why I'm wonderful. I'm honored to have you here.
I'm grateful for the opportunity to be able to share on the radio what God did in my life. And hopefully he'll do the same in some of the listeners out there. Who are seeking the Lord as well as I was. But so as a result of this weekend, you know, Lynn and I began a journey. Like, we were sort of reading the Bible. Well, anyway, long and short, we got married. We got married in the Catholic Church up in Pittsburgh. And it was a very sweet, you know, time, and I am grateful. But again, alcohol was a big part of my life. And
so you got married before God, but yet you didn't really have a you weren't born again. You weren't connected yet.
That's correct.
You knew about him, but you did not know him.
I was getting closer. I had a lot of information in my head that I didn't have, you know, even a year prior than that. And
Did that influence you to marry Lynn?
Probably. In fact, I remember we got engaged at the altar after a church service. We went up and we knelt down in front of this cross with this Jesus figure. It was kind of like it was an interesting cross because it had Jesus and he was suspended there like sort of like Superman. He wasn't nailed to the cross. He was just like resurrected, but the cross in the background, and I always call it like the Superman Jesus thing. But anyway, I asked Lynn to come forward, and we got on our knees right in front of the cross, and I asked her if she'd marry me right there, you know, right before this idol statue of Jesus.
Wow.
And we got married a few months later, and then we had our first holiday together and, you know, all that, and she grew up with a big family, and I didn't. In fact, backing up a little bit, I have a sister who's 15 years older than me. And if I understand my story, like, I believe that God was involved in my, even, I was born before Roe versus Wade, and I'm also very passionate, pro-life, you know, I'm on the board at CareNet here in Vero Beach. Anyway.
Well, that's right. That's why I saw you at that dinner. I forgot.
Yeah. So anyway, this before Roe versus Wade and the circumstances of me and my parents coming together and me coming to be born, I'm convinced that if Roe versus Wade were not, you know, were in place then, I probably wouldn't be alive today because of the circumstances of my family and whatnot. But I thank the Lord that he even had a plan for me to be here, be alive. So, where was I at here? Lynn and I got married. Yeah,
you two got married. And how did that go?
Yeah, it went fabulous. I mean, I married way over my head. She is such an incredible woman. But yet, she was lost as I was. But she was also...
Well, you make an awesome team. You can tell them by the fruit of the womb. Look at all your kids. Look how great they turned out. And look at all the grandkids. I mean, this is great. And you're a youth pastor at a Baptist church. But anyway, okay, so you don't know Jesus yet. You are married, but you don't know the Lord. What happens next?
All right, so I remember one morning, a Friday night, there was this bookstore down in Fort Lauderdale, and I somehow got word of it that they were having a Bible study on Friday night. So I'm like, you know what, I'm going to go to that. I don't remember what Lynn was doing, but I went to this Bible study, and I remember they were just coming off this fast, like a 4 or 5 day fast, this group of people in this Bible study, and they were talking about it, and they were all excited about it, and anyway, so I thought, wow, people actually go without food for days. So, and another thing that really stood out to me is, you know, just I remember, because it's the first time I ever stepped foot in some sort of a service outside of the Catholic Church, you know, denomination. And I remember him saying, if you don't stand for something, you'll fall for anything. You know, and that stood out to me, and I was like, yeah, you're right. Anyway, and then I remember him telling the story about how God worked out the circumstances in the life of Jesus, how their Greek culture had made the whole world speak Greek, and how the Romans paved the roads, you know, and everything God just orchestrated together perfectly for the timing of the Messiah. And I thought, man, this is interesting stuff. So now that was Friday night. I went to this Bible study. Sunday morning, my wife was still sleeping in bed, and I decided, you know what, I'm going to get up and go to a church I've never been to before. And I get up, she's still sleeping, and I go to this little Methodist church because I knew the guy from the Kiwanis Club. I was in the Kiwanis Club at the time. And by the grace of God, he wasn't there. There was an evangelist there.
Whoa.
I left that an important detail. So I got up that morning, and I randomly opened my New Testament, just opened to a page, and I read, you know, the page I opened to, it happened to be John chapter 3, where it said, you know, for God so loved the world that he gave his only begotten son, that whoever believes in him should not perish but have everlasting life, and talking about Nicodemus needing to be born again. And again, all interesting stuff. So I go to this church, I sit down, and the minister says, open up your Bible, said John chapter 3. And I was like, what? My mouth about dropped open. I was like, oh my Lord, what is happening here?
Because you were just open to that page.
Yes.
And you didn't even know the Bible at that point.
I didn't. And I was like, my spirit was wide open at that point. I was like, okay, God. So I remember he asked two questions that changed my life. And the first question he said, do you know for certain that if you were to die today, you have eternal life? And I thought, nope, I don't know if anyone can know that for certain. And then he said, the second question is, if you stood before God today and he said to you, why should I let you into my heaven? What would you say? And I thought for a moment, because I had been listening to the radio and, you know, listening to Bible teachers, and I thought, there's the only way I'm going to get in there is based upon what Jesus has done, you know, that he died and rose from the dead. And but I also knew that I had never personalized that. You know, I knew the information in my head, but I never made it my own. It was just information, like everything else in my life up until this point.
Never traveled the 14 inches down to the heart.
Exactly. So that morning, as he preached that sermon, God was dealing with me and working in my life. And that morning he prayed a prayer at the end, and I invited Jesus into my life to take control of my life, receive forgiveness of sin. I realized that I was a desperate, broken sinner who needed a Savior, that I could not save myself.
So you surrendered, so to speak.
I did. It's like all the pieces of the intellectual information that I had all came together that day.
Tune in again tomorrow at 3 a.m., 7 a.m., or 3 p.m. for the continuation of this interview. I'm your host, Rhett Palmer, and this is a new day.
Today's broadcast is supported by Plains Dental Arts in Vero Beach and Port St. Lucie. Thanks to Dr. Alex Plain at Plains Dental Arts for keeping New Day with Red Palmer on the air daily at WCNO 89.9 FM.
It is good to praise the Lord and make music to your name, O God Most High, to proclaim your love and faithfulness all the day and through the night. La la la, la 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 la, la 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 la, la 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 la, la 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 la, la 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 la. Trees of heaven.